Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm going to address the issue of slavery. First of all, the Christian Bible, the Jewish Bible, states that every human being is the image of God. That is unique to Christianity. There's no other, a lot of people, they think they believe that, but they don't know where it comes from. So slavery is always an evil. Slavery, however, was a widespread practice. It grew up with the advent of civilization. Once you had civilization, you had people in power. And once you had people in power, you had other people who they would enslave. Slaves were primarily losers. They either lost in the war or they lost in an economic situation of their life. So becoming real poor made you could end up being a slave or fighting for your nation and finding out that the other nation was stronger. Now, while it was a widespread practice and totally accepted in the ancient world, the Jewish understanding of slavery did have a few slight nuances. One of them being the central story of salvation had to do with God freeing slaves. But they did practice slavery, just like we do all sorts of things which future generations will be appalled at. And the definition of the word slavery gets tricky when you start asking about, I've heard professional athletes claim that they were slaves. And we always say, well, they make a lot of money, but the reality is you can make a lot of money and be a slave. Any of you ever had a job that you wanted to quit but you couldn't because of insurance? Any of you ever been in a situation, well, hopefully none of us, but a situation where a spouse abuses another spouse, where that person doesn't have any freedom? The reality is slavery is not a single thing, but it has a very specific meaning to us in America. And so what I would like to address is the issue of the church and slavery. So let's begin with this. There's a difference between things people do in the church and what the church teaches. So there are abuses. There are failures. G.K. Chesterton once said, Christianity has not been found false and never tried. It's not been found false and rejected. It's been found hard and never tried. So the reality is the abuses around slavery that the church is responsible for is not the whole story. There were lots of slaves among the first Christians, and that was sort of unique. The idea that slaves could gather with other people and be held in the same esteem. In the early church, some bishops were slaves, including one named Onesimus, whose scholars speculate is the very man we read about today in the letter. At least one of the bishops of Rome, one pope, was a slave. In the early church, Paul is criticized by contemporaries, usually people who reject the faith. He's criticizing for the statement that slaves should obey their masters. It's offensive. It's also not the only thing he said. He says, do everything to honor and serve God. In other words, slavery is a reality. And this is important for you to understand. When people criticize Paul, he's writing from jail, and they're going to kill him. Paul was not in charge of Rome. When Paul says to slaves, obey your masters, he's telling people with no power how to deal with having no power. Guess what happened if Paul had said, slaves, disobey your masters? Slaves would be beaten or killed. What if Paul had said, slaves, have an uprising against this Roman oppression? Well, he didn't need to say it because it happened all the time. Guess who won every time? The Romans. Guess who lost every time? The slaves. Every time. Now, of course, we live in a virtue-signaling culture, so the fact that reality has nothing to do with anything, they would just, Paul should have said that if he was a good man. Reality is, Paul did something better. What Paul did was he was a leader in a movement that purchased slaves and set them free. Paul was a leader in a movement that, once it got control of the Roman Empire, dissolved slavery. Slavery disappeared. And it wasn't because the Romans said, we always wanted to get rid of it, but there's a few Christians out there that made us keep slavery. Christians put an end to slavery in the Roman Empire. Paul tells slaves to use their slavery as an opportunity to honor and serve God, the same way Jesus said, if they make you walk 1 mile, tell them I'm walking two. If they slap you on the left side, offer them the right. Why? Because that's how persons without power demonstrate their power. When you tell me this is what you have to do, you have to wash the car, I say, I'm going to wax it too, because I'm in charge. And what are you going to say then? Remember the famous scene in Cool Hand Luke when they started working like crazy? They weren't slaves. For a brief moment, they were men. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul is able to see in the slave Onesimus another human being, a brother in Christ. That's what destroyed slavery. Not uprisings, not civil wars, not people shooting each other in the streets for their cause, or stabbing or throwing spears or whatever. And what the New Testament does is it takes slavery and turns it on its head. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he famously says that Jesus emptied himself of his divinity and took on the form of a slave. He became a human. Jesus is the slave. He's the servant of God, the abet of Yahweh. Servant and slave are the same thing. Jesus identified as the servant of God. Jesus says to the apostles at the Last Supper, I'm your master, but I'm among you as one who serves like a slave, and he washes their feet. Jewish slaves could not be made to wash the feet of a Jewish slave owner. Jesus goes below that. In Mark's gospel, Jesus said to his followers, whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of all. The lowest is the highest. Not that any of us really believe that. Right? Who was happy about the Memphis game last night? Mississippi State. And who was running around saying we're number one? Mississippi State. And that's our culture. And which one would Paul or Jesus say you should identify with? The loser. And we don't like to be losers. We don't like to be losers. Paul himself says, I'm a slave of Christ. So when you criticize Paul's talk about what he tells slaves to do, ask what was his example. He suffered exceeding abuse as a slave of Christ. Jesus tells us that he is among us as a servant. The Christian understanding of slavery is better to be a slave than to be a slave owner. And I don't know what to do with that, because the American motto is get what you can get, be the best. What I know is when Paul looked at a runaway slave and saw him as a brother and a co-worker of Christ, he redefined the relationship of that man to others. This is a private personal letter, although it's addressed to the church too, so strangely it's broader than that. But it's really not, like when you think of what would you put in sacred literature, this is a letter, it's a private affair. And yet it's in our scripture, and I think the reason is because the principles of love, mercy, and brotherhood in this simple little letter are what changed Western civilization. And if Christian belief that no one, even a slave, is beneath me, and no one should seek the higher, but should embrace slave, if that's to change Western civilization, then it can change it again. So here's the task that lays before us in a world increasingly hostile to the church and to Christianity. When they come after us, we say to them, how can I serve you? And God give us the strength. Amen.